muted and video has been disabled. With this said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there's a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your questions or give input. During the time you're unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate, you can call 582-0337 and Patrick will assist you and be happy with assisting you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through tonight's agenda. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance,
to
the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's see here. Let's start with roll call and please state, commissioners, your location.
Conklin.
Present from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Grunch.
Hey, participating from my home in Boyne City.
Needhammer.
Here and also participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Paige.
Here and participating from my home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Solomon.
Here and participating from my home in Boyne City.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have approval of the October 7th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. And item B, we have a pre-audit work session rescheduled to Tuesday, November 24th at 9 a.m. Any discussions, commissioners? If not, I would entertain a motion.
Second.
Who had the motion?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Okay, thank you, Hugh. And seconded by Ron.
Any seconded.
Okay, thanks. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to citizens' comments on non-agenda items. If you're here because of an agenda item, you'll have time to talk. This is for non-agenda items. Please state your name and you will have a 5 minute limit. But anybody out there, Patrick?
Showing none currently, Mayor.
Okay. Moving on to correspondence, and we don't have anything there. We'll go on to Mike for the city manager's report.
Well, it's been a busy time since we had our last city commission meeting. Since then, we received national recognition as one of the three communities earning this year's Great America Main Street Award for the best Main Street programs in the country. We've seen the benefits of this program that since we've embarked on it in 2003, not only in our downtown, but throughout our community and beyond. Congratulations to Main Street Executive Director Kelsey King Duff and all those who've made the Main Street program such a success over all these years. If you haven't checked out the video created by the contractors of the National Main Street Center, please do so. I think you'll like it. I think it shows off the community very and the program very well. It is available on the Main Street website. Also, coming right on the heels of the Main Street Award, at our November, the presidential election. And this year, 2,289 people voted, 1,397 of those by absentee ballot. This beats our previous record of 1,971 votes 4 years ago in that presidential election. This year, we had about 3,400 registered voters here in the city, and that's up from just a little over 3,000 in 2016. 11 of this year's voters were registered here on the day of the election. Because of our overall number of registered voters and that are well above the 2,999, it looks like the city will need to create two precincts shortly, something that we've not had for a number of years. Overall, the things with regards to the election went pretty well. The weather was great on election day, and those waiting to vote were generally pretty positive and helpful. The tabulator did go down for some time in the afternoon. That happened when it displayed a code that the remote technicians had not experienced before, and they recommended that we not do anything further until one of their teammates could come out and check it out in person. When they did so, they tracked down the code to saying that the device needed a minor cleaning. Once that was done, the processing resumed normally. Also, when initial counts showed an overcount of one ballot, Cindy made the correct choice to recount all the ballots, at which point everything checked out correctly, ensuring that everyone's vote correctly cast was correctly counted. So kudos and the entire election team for a very long, more than one day, and a job well done. At a little bit before 2 o'clock today, water service was restored for a good portion of the east side of the city after a 12-inch water main along M75 was broken this morning. A number of businesses and homes east of Beardsley were affected. A boil water advisory is in effect for a certain number of those customers. All of those customers who should be boiling water will have received a paper notice. If for some reason there is some doubt, boil your water to be safe and then contact us. The boil water advisory is expected to remain in effect at least until Friday morning. That's when two rounds of tests come back. We did receive other tests back on our PFAS testing results from our water system. And these were samples that were taken in late October. They test for 18 different PFAS compounds. Seven of them have limits established for. The others are just to see, or in our case, see what isn't out there. We took the samples from from well number 5, which comes from our north aquifer, north of the DPW garage, and well number 3, which is from the south aquifer behind the 1910 building. Both samples were non-detect for all 18 compounds, which means that they were below the level that can detect the compounds, which is 1.8 parts per trillion. The lowest PFAS compounds that we have to meet is PFOS, P-F-O-S, and that has a standard of 8 parts per trillion. So good clean water results with regards to PFAS. On November 1st, our liability insurance auto-renewed, and that's automatically renewed for cars, with the Michigan Township Participating Plan at a quoted price of just over $68,000, which is about $2,700 less than the about $71,000 that we started with last year. In 2018, the City Commission approved a 3-year automatic renewal program, which runs through November 1st of next year. During the last year, we also received back a $6,250 dividend, which further lowered our costs. Our plan also includes cyber liability insurance, something we hear a lot about these days. Since changing insurance carriers in 2005, when we were paying about a little over $105,000 for similar coverage, I estimate that we've saved about over $500,000 in premiums. A little over 2 weeks ago, representatives from Consumers Energy Efficiency Program visited many of our city facilities with Tim Foss and Mike Peterson and installed free energy efficient LED lamps and replaced thermostats, including wireless ones in the pavilion, which allow us to monitor and adjust its temperature remotely. The majority of the new patio furniture for the City Hall's second floor outdoor area arrived last Thursday and is in the process of being set up. The shopper's dock and fishing pier have been put away for winter storage late last week. We're making good progress in the hydrant flushing winterization, and that's over three quarters complete. Contractors will be back tomorrow, or at least they're scheduled to be back tomorrow, to put back up the North Boeing, actually a replacement North Boeing communication towers at water production well number 4. That blew over in the recent windstorms. Wendell Mueller will also be here to get the antennas back up on that. We hope to be operational by the end of the day tomorrow. The new Vactor truck that we purchased is going to be picked up by Fredericton Supply, which we bought it from earlier, and that should be picked up tomorrow. Then they'll finish equipping it and prepping it, and we hope to have it here sometime next week. The Housing Commission has advertised their search for their next executive director. Applications are due this Friday, November 13th. The city has been awarded a $2,650 grant from the Charlevoix County Community Foundation for wayfinding signage along the new Boyne Valley Trail. And yesterday we provided an updated 425 proposal to Boyne Valley Township for their consideration. We have not heard back from them yet. Harbor Springs Excavating plans to begin filling marine mattresses in Veterans Park tomorrow to protect about 75 feet of shoreline. We want to see how these mattresses perform over the winter with ice forces from Lake Charlevoix before we commit to using them further. The Army Corps of Engineers and the state's Eagle Department are also interested in our experiment, and we'll be watching to see how they perform. Some of the equipment was delivered today, and the rest of it will show up tomorrow morning. This is the final week of leaf pickup, and collections are going well, with Tim reporting that lots and lots of leaves have been picked up so far. And given the significant recent upticks in COVID cases in our county and the ones around us, we are again having as many City Hall employees as possible work remotely from their homes. This is not affecting our City Hall hours that were open to the public or the services provided significantly. We did receive two annual reports since our last City Commission meeting. One is from the Charlevoix County Community Foundation, and the other one is from the Charlevoix Conservation District. These are their 2019 to 2020 reports, and they're on file at the City Clerk Treasurer's Office if you care to review either one of them. A reminder that Earlier in the Bird will be taking place before our next City Commission meeting on Saturday, November 21st. And as has been reported earlier, that's going to be a little bit different. It won't be quite the rush that they have in the morning. Stores are setting their own specials and their schedules, and they're setting them over time, so it'll be an all-day event. And then they're doing a contactless mug giveaway where people turning in receipts with their name and phone number on the back in a box that will be at the log cabin, or they can email a picture of it to the Main Street program. And winners will be drawn at random on Monday morning. At our next meeting on November 27th, November 24th, we anticipate bringing forward bid results for the Pine and Franklin Street storm sewer improvements, as well as the Park Street Bridge resurfacing. We've received four bids overall. Three of them range from $408,000 to $415,000. The fourth bid was an outlier at over $502,000. Our estimate for that work was $275,000. So they came in significantly over what we estimated. With the three bids grouped together like they are, we believe that that actually reflects the current market work rate for the work being proposed. That work is scheduled to be done in the next fiscal year and out of the coming budget. A full memo and recommendation will be provided to the commission at that time. But we want to give you a little bit of heads up on that since those numbers are high. Also at that meeting, and also money related, we'll have the annual audit presentation for the fiscal year that ended this past April 30th. We had hoped to do that tonight, but we have yet to receive the paper audit reports and wanted everybody to have a good chance to look them over. Our initial review of those reports reveals that all continues to look pretty good at this point. Actually, on the 27th, which is a Friday of November, the Santa Parade and Holiday Open House is still being planned. We are watching the COVID counts and you know, we'll make any adjustments if necessary. But this year it's gonna be a drive-through parade around Veterans Park, and we'll have more information as that comes forward. A reminder that the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council is still gathering public input now through December 1st on the findings of their green stormwater infrastructure study that covered Boyne City, East Jordan, and Charlevoix. A link to the study's information and the study is available on the city's website, and they have contacted us about possibly providing an update to the city commission that would take about 15 minutes at our next meeting. A reminder that tomorrow, November 11th, is Veterans Day, so keep that in mind. And if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to report them. And sorry for the long report, but there's been a lot going on.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners or staff, any questions for Mike?
Mike, I have one or two questions. Is the material that's over by the small boat launch, is that what they're using for the marine mattresses?
No, that material that's over there is for the sidewalk replacements that were previously approved to you. Those are stockpiled until the DPW can work on them.
Thanks. The other question was about the insurance rate, and previously it was the Michigan Municipal League. And when you got on the board, you were going to try to figure out why they charge their members so much more for insurance. Have you ever figured that out?
No, you're correct. When we switched in 2005, it was from the Michigan Municipal League and they were at $205,000. I've brought up those comments before and you know would have liked them to be more competitive. We've had them quote us a few times since 2005 and they just have not been competitive. And to be candid, we've been, you know, very happy not only with the savings, but the increased coverage and the responsiveness that we've had from the Michigan Township Participating Plan. Cindy and a number of the department heads deal with them, have dealt with them directly over the years. Cindy has worked very closely with their representative, Paul Olson. Cindy, I don't know if you have anything you want to say on that matter either or not.
Just that I agree. He's been just wonderful to work with and very responsive to anything we've needed.
So I guess, Hugh, I don't have an answer as to why their rates are that much higher. Because we have tried, we've tried with private vendors. We've tried with the Michigan Municipal Risk Management Authority and with the Michigan Municipal League, again, to shop it every so often to make sure we're getting the best price. And at this point, it seems like we are.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think they've been doing a great job for us. It's just strange that the MML, you know, wouldn't maybe treat, you know, have something more competitive for its members. Is what I'm curious about. So, thank you.
I agree. You're welcome.
Any other questions, commissioners? Okay, moving on in the agenda, we have in our packets, so us commissioners can be up to speed with all of our boards and standing committees. We have the draft minutes of the October 1st Main Street meeting. We have the draft minutes of the October 6th ZBA meeting. We have the draft minutes of the October 8th Parks and Recreation Committee. And we have the draft minutes from the October 19th Planning Commission and the draft minutes from the October 22nd Airport Board. Commissioners, and or staff, is there any questions on this information?
Sorry, I've got a question.
Sure.
In the Planning Commission, there were two abstentions on the consent agenda at their last meeting. Was there something in the consent agenda that was sparked that?
Patrick or Scott's not with us, is he?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Scott, can you address that, please? Thank you.
I'm not recalling that right now. I'm going to back look at that, Hugh, and get back to you. Is that okay?
Sure. Thanks.
Hugh, I was there, but I shouldn't speak publicly because I can't remember the details either. It was brought up that, you know, who and when has the right to abstain, but I'm going to turn that over to Scott.
Thank you.
Anything else, commissioners? Okay. There is no old business, and moving on to new business, item 9A, introduction and confirmation of fire department officers. I'll turn that over to Chief. Is he with us?
I saw him earlier.
I see him there, yeah.
Is he still muted?
Hello.
Hi, Dennis.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. As my memo stated, we had our annual election of officers in October, and most of the positions stayed the same as myself as the chief. James Farley here. He stayed as our assistant chief. Ray Leisch stayed as our captain. And our new lieutenant, Tim Riley, which couldn't make it after all, is our new lieutenant. He replaced Ben Mathers. He had stepped down from that position. Tim has all his officer's credentials, and he should do a good job for us. So all we're looking for is approval from you for us officers to keep continuing doing our duties.
Thank you, Dennis. Are there any other staff? And Mike, why don't you report in for any other staff as to on this topic, and then we'll turn it over to the public in a minute. But Mike, you want to go through how this works?
Sure. I believe it's pretty much annually the fire department has election of officers for most of the years. There isn't any significant changes with regards to that. This year there was the addition of Tim Riley as our new lieutenant for the department. Everybody's doing a great job. The department's very well run, and we've got a great team over there. When it does come to the commission, we ask for the city commission to confirm the fire department's choices of their officers. And so a motion to approve their officers would be in order and recommended by staff.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any comments from any more staff comments or any public comments?
Dennis, do your officers have their speeches ready?
Yeah, sure they do. James, you got anything to say?
Thank you.
Ray?
Thanks.
All right. Short and sweet, the way we like it. Thank you, guys.
They're short-winded.
That's unusual for James, I think. But
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. Any other comments from our public? All right, let's go over to board discussion. Ron?
Well, thank you for your service and keep the dream alive. You guys do great work. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Dean?
No, I'm good. Congratulations to all the officers.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks.
Sally?
Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sally. Hugh?
I appreciate all you do, and I'm sure the community does as well, and I really think you guys do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I also appreciate your efforts, and to be out there at any time of the day when the whistle blows, we appreciate it. You're taking care of our community. Thank you very much. Thanks. So at this point, I would entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve the slate as officers as presented for the upcoming year for the Boynton City Fire Department.
Second.
Motion by Hugh, second by Sally. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's welcome to stay or not if you want.
What's that?
You're welcome to stay or not if you wish.
Okay.
Let's move on to item 9B, student positions on boards and commissions. Mike?
We'll let Kelsey take the lead on this one, please.
Thank you. Kelsey?
Hi. So the memo in the packet I put together, but on behalf of Tim and Scott as well, so they may have something to pitch in. And then the student that originally approached us and really got this idea going, Liam Dreyer, is on the call as well. So he'll be able to speak to any questions. Several boards and commissions have been exploring adding a student member in recent months after Liam came to us. That was actually pre-COVID. And so it's been interesting how the conversations have taken place once school stopped. And so now we are really getting this going, and it's really exciting. We've been talking about it for a while. So Liam is the student representative to Charlevoix Main Street and is just interested in getting more students involved. After it came up at a department head meeting, there was the interest from both Planning Commission and Parks and Rec. And the Parks and Rec Board had actually already started talking about it before Liam came to us. He also recently worked with the East Jordan DDA, and they added a student position as well as the library. And they are currently in the process of recruiting students, which I know some applications and things like that have been received. There's been really positive response. I think, you know, it meets a lot of the goals of the different boards, definitely for Main Street recruiting new volunteers and youth engagement are things that come up all of the time. So it's a really good fit, and good connections have been made with the school and the community foundation with the youth committee. So Boynton City Main Street and the Parks and Rec Commission have both unanimously recommended to add an ex officio, so non-voting member to their board. And so commission approval is needed to do that. And then Planning Commission has approved to name a liaison, which is how their bylaws are set up. So that is the super general overview. I can answer any questions. And like I said, there's others here too that can help.
Thanks, Kelsey. Is there any other staff members that want to weigh in on this?
Sure, Mayor.
Please, Scott.
Yep. Kelsey mentioned, the Planning Commission considered this at their October 19th meeting. They unanimously were enthusiastic about the idea. They think having student perspectives and input is great. They're definitely not heard from a lot as they currently are, and we'd love to hear from them. And also, I think it's a great way to perhaps cultivate young people that can hopefully be members in the future on these various boards and commissions. So the Planning Commission, as I said, was enthusiastic about it and did amend their bylaws to create that student liaison designation.
Thank you, Scott. Any other staff?
Mayor Barb. Barb has her hand raised as well.
Please, Barb.
Hi there. I just wanted to, hold on. Just a second. There's too many devices going here. Liam actually contacted me probably a little over a year ago with this idea. At that time, he was already on the board of the DDA in Charlevoix, but wanted to look into, you know, taking this idea and implementing it in other communities. And so he and I talked, and I know he spoke with other people. He did a lot of research for several months, well before he even brought it to Boyne City. So it's not like the idea is not well thought out. And like I said, he's put a lot of time and effort into it. And I can just see the positive of getting some young people involved in what goes on in our government and Planning Commission, Parks and Rec, DDA, all that stuff.
Thank you, Barb. Any other staff?
Mayor, from the Parks and Recreation perspective, as Kelsey mentioned, we had been discussing this for the past couple of months, and there was definitely support moving forward with it. You know, in my mind, this is an excellent way to engage the users of our community from a broader perspective. We, you know, undertook a significant survey earlier this year as part of our master plan process. And I shared these statistics with the Parks and Rec Commission at our last meeting. When we did that survey, we received no input, no direct input out of the couple hundred people that took the survey from anyone that was under the age of 18. And, you know, we really need to engage those people, you know, the youth of our community, because they are the majority users of our facilities. And while I think, you know, the parents may have completed surveys on behalf of the youth of the community, having a direct member on our Parks and Rec Commission would certainly be beneficial. And then the last point I'd make is we did include a copy of the existing ordinance that deals with membership on the Parks and Rec Commission in the packet, and we would need to make a minor amendment to that ordinance in order to allow for what we would recommend a non-voting student member as part of the commission. But understanding this is going to take some time to put in place if the commission wants to move forward, we would work on that in the coming months. I think that pretty much summarizes it from a Parks and Rec standpoint.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody else? At this time, yeah. Patrick, we have anybody else? At this point, I'd like to open it up to the public. I know we have Liam in the audience and possibly others. So please join our conversation.
Hello. Yeah, I'm the non-voting member on Charlevoix's DDA, and I just kind of noticed how exclusive...
Can you state your name, please?
I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Liam Dreyer, and I'm from Charlevoix. And I'm the student member on Charlevoix's DDA, and I realized that none of my peers in other cities could have the same opportunity I have, which is serving on on a local government board. And so I kind of started talking to a bunch of people from all across Northern Michigan, public officials, and seeing if it was even possible. And there was even student interest. And I kind of put it up as a small project. And now I think cities are really, hopefully, really liking this idea. And I'm really excited to maybe see student members in Boyne City. And I think this type of incorporation brings massive benefits to the city and the community as a whole. And then I'm more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thanks, Liam. We'll come back to you probably. Anybody else, public commentary?
Chuck Vondra would like to speak.
Yes, Chuck.
I think this is a great idea. Is the outreach going to city residents?
The outreach, as far as recruiting, going to city community members, is that what you're asking, Chuck?
Yeah, correct. I think this is a great idea, number one. Number two, I think preference by all means should be given to youth within the city.
Yeah, I think we'll address that with maybe Liam can weigh in on that. I have talked to Mr. Daniels, the local civics teacher, and he's totally on board and had recruits for us. So he's working through the high school.
Yeah, I have as well. That's why I'm asking. I mean, I think obviously with families within the city, I think that's a great idea. And there's lots to pick from.
Absolutely. I don't know if we've worked out the details how, but yeah, I we're on board with you. So
great, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
To kind of go on that comment, how we've done it in East Jordan and for Boyne City Library is we just kind of go kind of what the mayor has said is we just kind of go to the schools and we ask teachers, really any staff, if they have student recommendations, and we work with the teachers to present really the idea of getting involved in local government. And there are many different avenues of contacting students, but it's mainly done through the school. So it's pretty much who attends the school, and we also make sure to contact the online students as well.
Yeah, good point. I have a question, I guess now I can ask. So would the student be required to live within the city limits as our board members do? Liam, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation, I'm not in Charlevoix city limits. So, and I'm sure serving on Charlevoix board. The way I've seen it is if they attend the school, it's kind of the collaboration between the school and the board. That would be my recommendation, but I don't know.
Okay.
Tom, right. I can help with that if that's okay.
Sure, Kelsey, please.
I guess from my perspective, it would depend on the requirements of the board. So like for Main Street board, you don't have to be a city resident. And in fact, several of our board members don't live in the city. They do own property in the downtown. So I think it depends on how it's worded. Like, you know, if planning commission, you need to live in the city, or whatever each of the requirements are, I guess it would go off of that. So if a student was at Boyne City Schools but didn't necessarily live in the city limits, to me, they would still qualify for the Main Street board, at least, because they still have a vested interest in downtown.
Okay. Do we have any more comments? All right, let's go to board deliberation. Dean, you want to start?
Sure. I think this, like everyone else has stated, I think this is a terrific idea to get the students involved. Just I have a question for Liam. First, what do you think is the best way, or how could we make the experience most valuable for students, for the city, both the city and for that student? Your hints based on your experience.
Sure, and that's a good question. Because really part of the experience is them not only adding the youth opinion to the board and rounding out the board with more of a broader age demographic, but it's also kind of showing the student, how the governing system of their city works. And it really is, I think the best way is to just let them serve on the board and have them learn the process of the board through that, if that makes sense. that they're learning, and who knows, this could maybe even spark careers in government. That might be a little far, but I know I found a certain love of local government from just serving on the board, and I feel that I've learned such an incredible amount of information, and I have this deeper appreciation for local government as a whole. So if a student has a question, you know, explaining it to them, does that answer your question, kind of?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, that's really helpful, especially, you know, how we can be mentors to those students by virtue of their position on one of those boards. I think that it would be important for us to have a position description for each position and each board, so that over time it's clear, you know, what the expectations are for both the students and for the board itself. It's one thing to say, well, we're going to have a student representative, but what does that really mean? It might mean different things for different bodies, but I think it'd be good to put that in writing and have that adopted by that board or commission.
Yes, absolutely. And a big part of it too is actually the student going to their peers and for a big agenda item, kind of asking for the student consensus on those big agenda items. So the student is not just a representative of their of that age, but actually the representative of the school. Like I've done that before, and I would try to work with the student who was appointed to the board and try to build that relationship between them and their high school peers.
Yeah, that sounds great. On the issue about whether the individual or the student should be a Boynton City resident, I think it's nice, but I also hate to exclude a student who goes to Boynton City schools just because they live over the border. So I guess I wouldn't get all hung up about exactly whether they reside in the city or just out or outside the city. The more important thing is to provide the opportunities.
Thank you, Dean. Sally?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the students on the various boards would relate to each other as well. You know, someone on the planning board or someone in Parks and Rec, would they again meet with each other and pass on the knowledge they get?
I mean, they definitely could. I don't have that opportunity in Charlevoix, but if I'm sure if I had, you know, fellow high school classmates and on different boards, I would try to talk to them about agenda items and stuff. And I'm sure that relationship can be built. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think the whole idea is a wonderful idea to start them when they're young learning about government, because as old as I am, I was a very late bloomer. So I appreciate that there are young people that want to know, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. The kids don't realize that local government is really one of the most influential governing bodies on their everyday lives. And the people in it can really make an impact on the community around them. And when students realize that, I think some really cool things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Thanks, Sally. Hugh?
Well, Liam, you're an impressive young man. You must feel pretty good that you've started with one thing and now you're planting the seed and it's growing all over. So that's very good.
Thank you very much.
Are you the only student representative from Charlevoix High School on any of the their boards and commissions?
There is a student member on their recreation advisory committee that was just appointed, yes. And I'm hoping to expand it to their maybe planning commission and library board as well, but that might be a project more down the line.
What year in school are you?
I'm sorry, what?
What year in school are you?
I'm a freshman.
Wow.
Show off. I really support this. I guess there are just some details for each board and commission to figure out as far as the length of the term and, you know, that type of thing that, you know, I don't have any real input on now, but, I think this is a really great idea. And is there any reason why it couldn't be more than one student per board if there's, you know, a lot of interest?
Ideally, very far down the road, if a bunch of students are interested, which is sometimes difficult to find, maybe even a student committee could be made, but that's pretty far down the line. But if there are a bunch of students interested, that could very well be something that happens.
And reading about this too, it raised some questions about me in the Planning Commission, if I remember correctly, maybe in the Parks and, well, no, it would be the Airport Board that has ex officio members. And I was wondering, you know, is there some exploration we could have there if we have ex officio members on our other boards and committees, just to, you know, reach out and, you know, get more input on for our boards and commissions. But in this particular area, I fully support moving forward with it.
Thanks, you. Ron?
Well, I reflect on my own career. Looking back to 1958 and 59, I participated in a program in high school very similar to this. And at the end of the year, they had a government day. And anyways, I represented Charlevoix, and Mary Jason, who I think most of you all know, she represented East Jordan. And we co-chaired and co-chaired the group and had usually monthly meetings. And it was a great experience and got me started unknowingly where I wound up today. So anyways, it's been a great ride. And anyway, I can help participate in it. I would certainly lend my hand and lend my experience and time to it. So I'm very supportive of this group. And
thank you very much, sir. Yeah.
Thanks, Ron. I last couple of years, I've talked to the civics class, and that topic was approached. And you know, I think we do have support from our civics teacher, Mr. Daniels. I think he already has 6 kids that are interested in signed up, and I think I'm in full favor of moving forward with this concept and working out the details, and I think it's going to be a good thing. And in reference to one question, do the kids report back to anybody? I'm thinking if at school board meetings, the student council reports monthly at the monthly school board meetings, report back, and this could almost be somehow that the student representatives could report back to their civics class or could report back to the school board or somehow. I think there's some bridges there that we can, that we do in Boynton City. That's what makes us good in Boynton City. We communicate openly and transparently, and this is a step in the right direction and a good thing. So are you looking, Mike, for a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, I would entertain a motion.
I guess I'll move as recommended by the Main Street Board, Planning Commission, Parks and Recreation Commission, Associated Staff, that the commission approve student representation as proposed.
Second.
Motion by Dean, seconded by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Ed Hammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Liam, Chuck, thank you very much for weighing in. You're welcome to stay, but onward and upward is a good thing, Liam. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's move on to item C, Open Space Phase 2 Funding Application Services.
Tim?
Tim?
Thank you, Mayor. So the commission will remember that when we completed the planning for the open space earlier this year, Beckett and Rader, our consultants, and by the way, both Tim Knudsen and Carrie Klingel-Smith, the prime consultants from Beckett and Rader on this project, are on the Zoom call with us. So if there's any specific questions, we can reach out to them. But they had prepared a conceptual design, some estimates, and a construction phasing plan for the improvements at the open space. There were five major phases to the work, which are listed in the memo. And we proceeded shortly upon the conclusion of the master plan update to make application to the MDNR, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Land and Water Conservation Fund grants cycle, which was due April 1st, for a grant for phase one, which was the non-motorized 10-foot wide pathway and two crosswalks across North Lake Street, and also a portion of phase four, the shoreline walkway, and a little bit of the grading within the center of the actual site. So this map probably, or this drawing probably shows it best. Everything that's kind of highlighted in orange here is what was included in our phase one application. So you can see the 10-foot wide pathway along North Lake Street, the looped 6-foot wide pathway that goes down towards and along the shoreline and then back past the parking lot. It also included some grading and topsoil and seeding of the center area, and then a native restoration of the existing shoreline along Lake Charlevoix. So we made that application. That application has since been scored. We have a final score, and we expect to hear before the end of the calendar year whether or not we have been successful with that grant. Now, what came along in the meantime was a grant opportunity from the state under its Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, called the Coastal Zone Management Program. And Patrick put this nice summary together for us, which just lays out some of the details of these grants. The grants are for one of either planning a project or actually constructing a project. And since we actually have a project that's already planned, we could in theory apply for one of the construction grants, which are up to $200,000 in total amount. It is a 50-50 match or a one-to-one match program. So a $200,000 project would require the city to contribute $100,000. So there's a lot of other details here that are laid out in the document that Patrick prepared for us. But the key one is the applications are due on the 18th of December. So Beckett and Rader reached out to us and said, hey, do you want to talk about this potential opportunity? And we got on a Zoom call with them about a week and a half ago and talked this through a little bit. And we do feel that there is a good opportunity to apply for a companion grant to the existing land and water conservation grant that is already in the hopper, so that if successful, we would kind of see three major phases of the open space completed over a two-year period. So again, if we're successful with phase one and part of four under the Land and Water Conservation Fund, those monies would come next fiscal year, talking 2021. Then if we were successful with this particular grant, we could, or grants, I should say, the coastal zone management and possibly a recreation passport grant in April of next year, then we would have a 2022 project coming right behind the phase one, phase four. So our recommendation would be to get an application in for coastal zone management now, work with the Tip of the Mitt watershed in the meantime to see if they could possibly contribute some funds towards, you know, some of the rain garden and other green stormwater infrastructure elements of the phase two parking lot and rain garden that would really make for, you know, a great companion grant or great companion project to the phase one, phase four combo that we applied for earlier this year. The kind of bottom line is that if we were successful with this next pair of grants, that is the coastal zone management and the recreation passport grant, it would look like the math, and this is kind of a preliminary sketch of what the grant would break down as, look like our contribution would be just a little shy of $36,000 to complete a $285,000 project. So, you know, initially up front, we would get $142,500 from the Coastal Zone Management Program. We'd put our match in of $142,500. We would get our match from a portion through the passport, the recreation passport grant from the state DNR, and the balance from us and potentially the Tip of the Mitt watershed. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done in a relatively short period of time here in order to meet a December 18th timeframe. But it seems like this is kind of setting up as though it would be a good natural progression of this next phase, you know, right on the tailcoat, if you will, of phases one and part of phase four, if we're successful with that other grant. Now, should we not be successful with the first grant, the 2021 Land and Water Conservation Fund grant, then we could, and we were successful with the second one, we could still build the second one independent of the first one. It's just great if the two come together. It would just be awesome to take care of the main pathway, shoreline pathway, the shoreline, get a little bit of that green space, the open space established, and then get the parking lot and rain garden, which again is on this drawing as phase two, get that all completed within about a 2-year time window. So I know that's a lot of information regarding the current and the proposed grant, but I felt you maybe needed that full background to understand why we think it's a good idea to pursue this grant at this time, and so that you understand the relatively tight timeline that we have to actually prepare the application, which Beckett and Rader have offered to prepare on the city's behalf per the proposal that was attached in the packet. So I think with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, or Patrick was also involved in the original call with Beckett and Rader. And then Carrie and Tim from Beckett and Rader are also on the call if you have any questions for them.
All right, impressive, thank you. Patrick, you wanna weigh in on this?
Only in the respect that I think the way things have the potential to line up here is a huge benefit. And like Tim said, even if one of those links does break and we don't get the funds anticipated, we can still move forward with the project, you know, just maybe in a different direction. But I think it does line up really well for us. And the tight time frame does make a whole lot of sense for Beckett and Rader to provide that assistance.
Okay, thanks. Is Carrie or Tim with us from Beck and Rader?
Yes, hello everyone.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Could you please weigh in on it for us?
Yes, of course. So we recently went through the coastal management program last year with the city of Petoskey. So we are very familiar with how the program runs. So we'd be happy to, you know, put in our influence with the DNR that is involved with it as well. So we are just happy to be able to provide you with that assistance this year.
kind of follow up with from what Carrie said. I, Tim and everybody else, I had a conversation online with Karen Bowes from Coastal Management. Just wanted to get some clarification on the total award and dates and some things like that. And she asked about the project specifically. So I sent her a site plan and asked if it would be an appropriate application. Obviously the bulk of the phase two would be the parking lot in terms of cost, but it's a, you know, it's a pervious paved parking lot with the intent of filtering and cleaning stormwater. So it's a good exhibit for them. So her response was, obviously I can't tell you you're gonna, you know, gain an award or not, but she thought it was a very appropriate project for the funding opportunity. So just thought I'd add that. I think, you know, as we work through one or both applications during the next week, we'll probably shake out which portion goes to which application, but I'm pretty confident we can do that by the 17th.
Mayor, the other thing that I would add is that the Coastal Zone Management Program is very limited in terms of geographically where the grant can be applied for. It's literally a real narrow strip of property all the way around Lake Charlevoix. Just happens to be that this land is right perfectly suited in that strip of property along the lake in, you know, kind of right on our main waterfront. So I think it's a great potential candidate.
That's great. Any other staff members want to weigh in on this? Okay, let's open it up to the public. Do we, Patrick, do we have any public comments?
Going none currently, Mayor.
Okay, thanks. Well, then let's go to board deliberation. Sally, you want to start?
I'm very excited in seeing it all come to fruition, especially the open space down there. So I think it's a very, very interesting, and you know, I think it's going to be great.
Thank you, Sally. You?
Tim, one thing you didn't go over in your presentation was the part of your memo about the cost to do this and, you know, that type of thing. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Do you mean in terms of the services that Beckett and Rader would perform?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the commitment would be if Mike is authorized to sign this proposal, Beckett and Rader would perform those services at their cost now, with the understanding that should we be successful in achieving the grant, that the commission would retain their services for the actual design and kind of oversight of the work. And that is a pretty traditional approach for these types of grants.
Okay. The other thing I was wondering, our score was 245 out of 400. Is that a competitive number, 245? I'm not familiar with these at all.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd maybe defer to Carrie for her thoughts on that, because she did kind of share that. We asked that question of her about a week and a half ago here, and I think she gave a great response.
Yeah, so the Land and Water Conservation grants are a little bit less competitive than the trust fund grants, just because of the amount of communities that apply for the trust fund. The Land and Water Conservation grant, usually, since it's a 50-50 match, there are less people that do apply for it. So it really just depends on how much money they, you know, it is a federal grant, so how much money is going to be laid out for the state of Michigan. And they always reach a cap, and then whoever has the point system. There is a conversion on the property right now that is being worked out with the DNR prior to the grant application. So that was one thing that did hinder the point system. So we are, I know that the city has been working on that to get it resolved, and they're positive, you know, that that's going to be resolved this year, this next year. So hopefully if we can get that funded, then we can just move along. If not, you could have the reliability of applying for that again once the you know, it's resolved with the DNR for the conversion. So sometimes you just can't get points depending on the different aspects. So we did, you know, besides the conversion, have a perfect score based on all of the elements that we were able to get points. We did max out the points that we were able to get for this grant application.
That's all for now. Thank you.
Thanks, you. Ron?
I think that's another good find for us, and I totally support it. And hopefully we can get the paperwork in on time, and Beckett and Rader's been a good partner over the years. So let's keep it moving.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron. Dean?
Yeah, I think this is fine. I'm wondering about phase one. I understand that these aren't, we don't have to complete phase one to do phase two. That certainly was a clear point. But if we're not successful with the Land and Water Conservation Fund, other than reapplying for the same program, are there other alternatives? Because obviously the sidewalk system, everything in phase one is pretty important to being able to open up this area to a greater array of uses.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, we'll know before the budget deliberations in early 2021 whether we're successful with this. So, you know, that may lend to us, you know, potentially recommending some capital in the budget to potentially address maybe part of phase one. And then if we were to reapply again by April for the same project, you know, we would just change the scope so that it maybe doesn't include quite as many elements. But then now we'd be talking about a double kind of two projects in 2022, if successful. But we can work those details out.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. I'm in full support. I think this is what Boyne City's past successes has been putting together grant money like this. And we have a vision, we have a plan. We do that well, thanks to our staff. This is exciting. And it's, again, I think my math was 12 cents on the dollar for a project that we're seeing through to the finishing point. So fantastic job. Thank you, staff. And Beckett and Rader, I'm in full favor. Any further discussion, commissioners? Or staff? Okay, looking for a motion.
Make a motion that the City Commission authorize the staff and to engage Beckett and Rader to prepare applications for phase two, including the parking area and the sidewalk and the garden and the open space project. Further, I recommend that the city manager execute these documents.
Thank you, Ron. Was that you, Sally?
Yes.
Okay, second by Sally. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunge.
Aye.
And Needhammer.
Aye. Great job. Exciting.
Thank you so much. Really looking forward to keep working with you guys.
Thank you.
All right. let's move on to in our agenda to good of the order. Commissioners, anything? Hugh?
Well, a meeting or two ago, I think Dean brought up about having a summary of how things went downtown this summer. And I wondered if that could get on an agenda in the near future. And then the Michigan Municipal League sent something out about COVID in the, let's see, what was it called? It was...
Oh, I read that, yeah.
The plans for winter, COVID strategies for winter, and I was just wondering maybe we could incorporate that into our discussion as well.
Is that, fellow commissioners, is that something that we'd want staff to pursue?
Sure.
Ron, Sally?
Sure.
All right, so maybe a future agenda item there, Mike.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Hugh. Anything else, Hugh?
That's all.
Okay. Ron?
I don't have anything tonight.
Dean?
I'm good.
Okay, Sally?
I'm good.
All right, so the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for November 24th at noon. We have an audit meeting. What day is that?
Same day at 9 o'clock.
Same day, so the 24th at 9 a.m.
Yep, so we'll be taking up your morning and early afternoon.
And those will be Zoom or live to be determined.
Those will be Zoom.
At this point, Zoom, okay. Yeah, that's right, we decided that. Okay. Anything else? It is 8:14 and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further comments? Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Conklin?
Aye. Hugh, you're muted. There you go.
Aye.
Thank you.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Paige?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Caroline.
Have a good night. We'll see you soon.
Well, good night.
Okay, good night.